The Lord be with you. On this day, when our nation celebrates its beginning, we hear in our scriptures the beginning of two different kingdoms, the kingdom of David and the kingdom of God. And these two kingdoms begin in two very different ways. David begins his kingdom with acts of power, but Jesus begins his kingdom with acts of purpose. David conquers a city and Jesus is rejected by a city. David receives authority from the elders of 12 tribes and Jesus gives away his authority to 12 disciples. David surrounds his army with defenses and Jesus will send his disciples out defenseless. And David will continue to reign in his kingdom for 33 years, but within 3 years, Jesus will be killed. And yet, within three generations, David's kingdom will crumble and fall apart and be destroyed completely within 400. But Jesus' kingdom will have no end. And the difference between these two kingdoms is the difference between seeking security through power and seeking security through purpose. And by seeking security through power, I mean seeking security through power over people, through the ability to control the people around you. And by seeking security through purpose, I mean seeking that sense of self-confidence that comes from knowing who you are and what you're about. And today the scriptures will ask us, where do you seek your security? In power or in purpose? So let's start with King David. King David, we heard last week, learns about the death of King Saul. And when King Saul dies, a civil war erupts in Israel, with the tribe of Judah rallying around David as their candidate for king, and the 11 other tribes rallying around King Saul's sons and generals. And this goes on for about 7 years, and at the end of 7 years, David is the winner. And to celebrate his victory as united king of Israel, and perhaps in response to that initial rejection, David seizes power. He does this by establishing a new capital for himself. And as he looks to find a new capital, he looks for a place that's defensible, but also in neutral territory, kind of in the center of Israel. And he finds a place called Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is perfect because Jerusalem is a fortress city, and it's built on top of a rocky hill called Mount Zion, so easily defensible. And it's not part of any of the other 12 tribes. It's kind of like picking out Washington, D.C. to be the 13 colonies capital, right? It's not part of any one state. It's kind of in the middle, and so it's a neutral territory that everyone could agree on. There's only one problem, and that is it's controlled by Philistines, the enemy of Israel. And this is, in fact, why it's not part of any of the other 12 tribes of Israel, despite it being in the dead center of Israel. And so David unleashes an incredible act of power. He and his troops sneak up a water shaft to enter into Jerusalem, and they capture it. And having conquered Jerusalem, he makes it his fortress capital from which he can control the surrounding territory from enemies both foreign but also domestic. David starts off his kingdom by seizing power. But the problem by seeking security through power is that power over other people always necessitates a struggle, a contest of wills between my power and the power of the person I'm trying to control. And when we as individuals seek our security through power, it turns every area of our life into a contest at home, at work, when we're out buying groceries, our relationships with our family, with our coworkers, with cashiers, can all turn into power struggles, which is why you'll see people having a meltdown at Starbucks and yelling at a barista because they got their double shot latte order wrong, right? That person isn't freaking out about a cup of coffee. That person is freaking out because they have grounded their sense of security in power, in the ability to control the people around them. And as soon as they are unable to control the people around them, even so far as to get a cup of coffee made the way they want it, their security has vanished. But of course, every single one of us will someday lose our power. If we make life a contest of power, we will someday encounter someone more powerful than I did, or more powerful than us. The Philistines in Jerusalem thought they had walls and that made them powerful, but then they encountered David. And if David could take that city from someone else, it should give you a clue that someday someone else might take that city from Israel, which is indeed what happens 400 years later when Babylonians show up. So yes, David starts his kingdom with an act of power, but it is power that will someday be lost. In contrast, Jesus starts his kingdom powerlessly. Mark 6:5 tells us that when Jesus goes to his hometown, he could do no deed of power, except maybe heal a few minor people. But the idea is that Jesus has gone home and he's preaching in the synagogue, but the reaction of the people in his hometown is to say, wait a minute, who does this guy think he is? Where does he think he's getting this wisdom? We know his parents. He doesn't even have a dad around here. He's Mary's son. His hands were made for shaping wood, not doing deeds of power. And so they dismiss Jesus and reject Jesus. Now you can imagine insulting God, going up in a contest of wills against the greatest being in the universe. But as compared to David, when Jesus experiences rejection, Jesus doesn't seize power. He seizes purpose. Because you see, Jesus isn't threatened by this rejection, by these doubts. He isn't threatened because his security doesn't come through power. His security doesn't come from trying to control the people around him. His security comes from knowing his purpose, to bring forth God's kingdom through faith and service. And he is secure in where that purpose has come from. He is secure that his heavenly Father has called him beloved son, and has made his hands not only to reshape wood, but to reshape the human soul. And so, Jesus doesn't have to respond with outrage or anger. Jesus is secure in who he is and what he's about, and so when he's rejected, he moves on to pursue his purpose. And when his authority is questioned, he doesn't cling more tightly to his authority. Instead, Jesus shares it. Jesus shares his authority with his 12 disciples. But he doesn't give them badges or uniforms or weapons to enforce that authority. Instead, Jesus gives his disciples his purpose, to prepare people for the kingdom of God, through calling them to repentance and through acts of healing and service. Now, Jesus even explicitly will tell his disciples not to bring with them food or money or extra clothes, anything that could be used to maybe convince people to support them. Instead, Jesus tells them to trust solely in their purpose with which they have been sent out. That if they hold true to caring for God's people in God's name, God's people will respond by taking care of them. And Jesus says, if God's people don't, well, then you do what I did when I was rejected in my hometown. Hold to your purpose and move on. You see, if we are secure in who we are and what we're about, if we find our security in our purpose, when we experience rejection, it doesn't shake us. Instead, we can shake off that rejection like the dust from our sandals. And if Jesus had instead sent his disciples out with even the most basic resources to have power over themselves or others, they might be tempted to find their security not in their purpose, but in their power, which is what King David comes to do. You see, King David wins that civil war not by being powerful, but by being faithful to his purpose. You may remember last week I talked about how King Saul was super paranoid and threatened by David and repeatedly sought to kill David. And yet David continually refused to harm King Saul. Because David knew that, yes, God had promised David someday he would be king. But David trusted that would happen in God's time, that God would make David king when the time was right. And in the meantime, David believed that his purpose was to serve the king God had appointed first, King Saul, to serve King Saul and the nation of Israel. And so when we hear last week that someone kills King Saul, David doesn't celebrate. Instead, he punishes the murderer and he mourns. And when the civil war erupts, time and time again, David refuses to harm King Saul's heirs and King Saul's generals. And when other people do, King David will punish those people and he will publicly mourn for his rivals. And it is in these deeds of public mourning, of saying, I respect the people that God has placed in leadership in these other tribes, it is by being faithful to his commitment to the nation as a whole, rather than seeking power for himself, that David becomes king of all Israel. For the civil war is not won with a battle. It's won when the elders of the 12 tribes spontaneously gather together and say, David, we want you to be king. And they give three reasons for wanting David to be king. The first reason is they say, we are your bone and your flesh. You see, by David honoring and mourning the rival leaders of the tribes of Israel, he has shown himself faithful to the purpose of uniting the tribes as one family. And then the elders of the tribes say, even when Saul was king, it was you who led Israel and brought it in. You see, even when David didn't have the power of king, he still held to the purpose of being a king, which was caring for his people. And so the elders say the third thing, the Lord has said to you, you shall be shepherd over my people Israel. You shall be ruler over Israel. The elders of the 12 tribes recognize that even though they have opposed David for 7 years, throughout those 7 years, David has always held firm to the purpose that God has given him. And so they recognize that purpose and say, truly God has made you to shepherd our people Israel. And once the nation is united in a common purpose, suddenly they have incredible power, right? Jerusalem had survived for centuries in the middle of the 12 tribes of Israel. But once those 12 tribes are united in a common purpose, they take Jerusalem once and for all. And David enters into the halls of power. But as we'll see in the coming weeks, once David enters into those halls of power, he begins to forget his purpose. And he begins to put his security in his power. But what David will discover is no matter how powerful he is, without his purpose, his security will slip through his fingers. David's grandson will discover this also. When feeling secure with this fortress in Jerusalem and with the army he has inherited, he tells the tribes of Israel that he's going to massively increase their taxes. And he discovers that the power he can exert from that fortress does not extend very far, and 11 other tribes will rebel against and split off from David's kingdom. And from that day forward, Israel is never united again until their enemies come to this weakened and divided nation and destroy them completely. It is rare for a nation to be destroyed by an outside power unless it has first forgotten its purpose and is divided within. And so many of the struggles and pains that we experience and inflict upon each other in daily life comes from seeking our security through power instead of purpose. But Jesus offers us another way. You see, the good news is that in Jesus, God becomes powerless so that we might become secure. Jesus becomes powerless not just in his hometown of Nazareth, choosing not to force people to enter into the kingdom of God against their will. No, instead, Jesus holds to his purpose, which is to bring people into God's kingdom willingly. Jesus will hold to that purpose to the point of becoming completely powerless and dying on the cross. But by being faithful to his purpose, Jesus discovers a security that is stronger than the armies of David and more powerful than death. And Jesus offers that security to us as well. The security found in God's purpose. To be the people who bring forth the kingdom of God by loving our neighbors as God sent us to do. And so this week, I will ask you to ponder and notice when you feel yourself insecure. Where do you seek your security? Do you seek your security in power? Or do you seek your security in purpose? Do you try to control the people around you? Or do you cling to the knowledge of who God made you to be and what God has called you to do? Do you, like David, build your security on the rock of Mount Zion? Or do you build your security on the rock that is Jesus? May we as a nation and as individuals build our security on the foundation that will never falter, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.